Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for August 11th, 2017. I'm Paul White. Good to have you with us today. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. That's where we are in our journey through Paul's great letter to Rome. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And our focus today is on that phrase from the end of the verse, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. We have to ask, what does Paul mean by this? Now, when you study this verse in various commentaries that have been written over the centuries, you will find that there's differing schools of opinion on what this verse means. Some will tell you, and we dealt with this yesterday, so I won't stay on it long, but some will tell you that this is prophetically out in the future of you, the reader, that someday that God will finish his work with the Gentile people, and then Israel will come back, all of them. There are some inherent issues with this, basically in that it doesn't really deal with the context of the Roman people. But even if we were to adhere to this, one would run into the question of who qualifies as Israel. Is it people that live inside of the national borders of that which was established by the UN in 1948? Is it that which will be established by some future border that we don't know about? Will it be those who can trace their bloodline to Abraham? Will it be those who have converted to Judaism as a religion? What will constitute an Israelite? Those are questions that are often not even asked, much less answered, from this point of view where the fullness of the Gentiles is an event in the future. Now, some of the other understandings of this have to do with the time period in which Paul was writing, first century, that there would be a fullness of the Gentiles according to Bible prophecy, New Testament prophecy, that would culminate in the fall of the temple. And I want to look at that one over the next couple of days because I believe that the New Testament bears out this understanding of the fullness of the Gentiles. To be fair, there's also commentators who say that your interpretation of the fullness, quote, fullness of the Gentiles, end quote, will have to do with how you read the 11th chapter. So if as you read the 11th chapter, you are seeing these events as futuristic from Paul on past your day, then you'll interpret this verse one way. But if you see it as events that are transpiring in Paul's day, then you will see this as a fulfillment in Paul's day. I could not disagree with that. That, to me, makes the most sense. How you have read this chapter up to this point is going to greatly dictate how you understand this verse. Please understand that verses don't exist in a vacuum. I get questions all the time about verses in the Bible. And people will ask those questions as if that verse exists by itself. And I think this is an unfair way to read the Bible, and it's certainly an unfair way to interpret our understanding of Scripture. You can't read verses as if they exist by themselves. So when you see something like the fullness of the Gentiles, you have to go find when such a phrase might have existed in the New Testament. Now, we're going to do that by going back into the New Testament, into the Gospels, where the Gospels have a better, that's the wrong word, not better. The Gospels have a little more thorough examination of this kind of thought process than do the epistles. They don't really deal so much with the times of the Gentiles. You might be surprised to know that the Old Testament does. In fact, the book of Isaiah reveals the Messiah as saving Gentiles over and over again, so it should not have been a shocking thing for Jews to see Gentiles coming in. I'll save that for just a moment. Before I go any further, I'd like for you to take note of something. This will help you. I did a vlog series from 2015 on into 2016. It took me nearly a year to do. We would post one per week, and I think we posted about 40 of them, where I worked through the 24th chapter of Matthew. We called this Finished Work Eschatology, and we would do a vlog every week. So you can find these on YouTube, and all you have to do is punch in Finished Work Eschatology Paul White, And those YouTube videos are numbered. So go back to number one and work your way through. However, if you maybe you've already watched them, or maybe you say, look, I don't have time for 40, 20-minute videos. And I can understand that. That's a big time commitment. If you want to know about the times of the Gentiles, and that deals with this thought process that Paul's using in Romans 11, 25, I would recommend you go punch in Finished Work Eschatology, vlog number 25. I titled it The Times of the Gentiles. And it deals with the great tribulation of those days from Matthew 24, 29. We do some peripheral stuff too from other scholarly works, but we include the understanding of immediately what that means in Matthew 24, 29. We use a little bit of Luke 21, which we'll do as well today. And then we talk about what we interpret the times of the Gentiles to mean. I do a very thorough job in a 20-minute setting, and I want to just send you there. Vlog number 25, The Times of the Gentiles, and you can find that on our podbean.com, or you can find that at YouTube and listen to that. But for today, let me show you the New Testament understanding of this verse. Luke chapter 21, Jesus, in his Olivet Discourse, makes this statement to the Jews in Jerusalem in verse 20. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. That verse right there has been a problem for a lot of people who've come into grace, whose eschatology is still dispensational, and we love to say things like, God's not mad, he's not even ticked off, he's not getting mad, and if our eschatology has the days of vengeance out in the future, then we run into a problem. That's what happened to me preaching grace, and I would say, hey, God's not mad, and then I would go look at Luke 21, 22, and see that the days of vengeance, and I still believe that was in my future. I go, well, how can that be in my future if God's not mad? Well, I don't believe Luke 21, 22 is in our future. The days of vengeance, that all things written might be fulfilled, was the day when Jerusalem was surrounded by armies and people in Jerusalem fled to the mountains and those who were in her departed, and there was a destruction at the hands of the Roman Empire. This happened in the first century, an event that you probably heard to referred as AD 70. That was the day of vengeance. Now, with that in mind, read 23 and 24, same passage, same context. Luke 21, 23, 24. Woe to those who are pregnant, to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And some try to put this out in the future. They even try to divorce the two events. They'll go, sure, Jerusalem was compassed about with armies in AD 70, but it's promised that it's going to she's going to be trampled by the Gentiles until those times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And Paul, that's way out in the future. I don't think so. Now, a lot of the controversy from Luke 21, 24, Jerusalem trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, centers on the duration of that treading down. The Greek word for trodden down of the Gentiles, is pateo, and it means to trample underfoot. Its parallel is Revelation 11, 2. Listen to this. But the court which is without the temple leave out and don't measure it, because it's given to the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, I don't know if it can be any clearer. The times of the Gentiles, which is also the treading down of Jerusalem, was a 42-month period of time, which, by the way, was the exact amount of time as the Jewish-Roman war when Rome invaded Jerusalem. And that's in perfect harmony with Daniel 12, where the time of the end is the scattering of the power of the holy people. All right. So that's a mountain of evidence. And I think there's a mountain of evidence for a pre-70 dating of Revelation, which gives us a prophetic conclusion in the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. And so the times of the Gentiles is not this 2,000, 3,000 year span of time where God deals with Gentiles and not Jews. It was the time of the day of vengeance where the Gentiles trampled Jerusalem underfoot. Otherwise, the Jews would never have had access back into Jerusalem. If it had to be the fulfillment of the times of the Gentiles and we're still in it, they still wouldn't be there. But we know that they are. Now, there are other ethnic groups as well in Jerusalem, but it makes little sense to split that times of the Gentiles away from the event of the destruction of Jerusalem. We're going to work on this a little bit more tomorrow and then begin the turn into verse 26, that all Israel will be saved passage. We'll meet you there tomorrow. God bless.